Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Ooh, you've got a notification.
Somebody loves Kevin.
Everybody loves Kevin.
Oh, well, bits of him, yeah.
And welcome to the Cubby House for the 30th of May, 2011.
Time just goes by so quickly. We're almost at the end of our season. We've just got a few more episodes to go.
Our first season, Jack. We're at the end of our first season.
But don't worry, we've got plans on other shows coming up. We'll be back.
That's right. We shall take over the world. Mwahaha.
Now, we've got a very full show on today, so we can't really beat around the bush, can we?
No, but before we do, can we please thank Lisa and Longstar for the Hang 10 this week?
That was some very nice housekeeping, Cookie. You deserve a trophy for that.
At least someone's on the ball. Now, today we are discussing, gentlemen, modern love.
It'll get you to the church on time. Church on time. It's the same as a David Bowie song. But we won't be hearing the David Bowie song.
No, we will not. We do not pick our topics just for an excuse to play music.
Damn.
Well, no, I don't. Okay, so today in Modern Love, we'll be discussing living in a non-nuclear family.
I mean, in modern times, we're living in very liquid times. That nothing is solid. I mean, I'm patting the floor right now. But it's solid, but our lives are liquid. That everything we know is certain. For example, our work, our education, religion, politics, even the institution of marriage. That all these things are shaping and warping around us in ways which are just constantly in flux. And relationships are part of it.
That there are people that absolutely love the fact that you define the world as liquid. There are people with fetishes that love the fact that you define the world as being liquid.
So what's left? What we are, what happens is that in this world where nothing is certain, that we've got to make our own meaning for all these institutions, and including relationships, that relationships are something that we do.
And part of relationships is emotions, and such emotions, we shall also be tackling a very harsh one, such as jealousy and envy, and what they are, and ways to perhaps combat them in your own way.
We'll also be bringing up the topic of instrumental relationships and how they sort of affect your life and long-term implications of limiting your life to instrumental relationships. But we also have an SMS topic today.
It's very controversial.
Very. On 0427JOY949, we would like your answer to the question,
does monogamy have a place in the modern gay world? Ooh.
You can also email those answers into onair@joy.org.au as posted on our Facebook page as well.
That's facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
Make sure you like it.
I like it.
I like it too.
Everybody likes it.
We do have an SMS topic for our show of modern love tonight, and we would like to know, does monogamy have a place in the modern gay world? You can SMS your answers to 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au.
Now, getting straight into it, our first topic for tonight is living in a non-nuclear family. Now, as we love our definitions on the Cubby House, I'll throw this one at you. A nuclear family is designed as a family group consisting of a father, a mother, and their children who share living quarters.
Now, if you were to ask me what is a nuclear family, it would be mum, dad, 2.3 kids, a dog, a house in the suburbs, and a white picket fence.
Everyone focuses on the white picket fence for some reason.
But we've brought in a person into the studio today to talk about living in a in a non-nuclear family.
We have. Hello, Daniel.
G'day, guys.
Welcome to the Cubby House.
Thank you, Jeff.
Again.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
You may remember this wonderful man, Daniel, from one of our Listener of the Week when we just woke him up.
In early days.
He had a very sexy voice, and his sexy voice hasn't changed.
So let's not beat around the bush. Let's get to our first question.
So, Dan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm 33. I live in the suburbs. I have a hedge, not a white picket fence. I have three kids. I'm gay. And I guess that's why I'm here today.
Well, explain a little bit about the situation that you found yourself in recently.
Recently?
Up until recently, I should say.
I was married for 10 years. After 10 years, so I thought that it was time to go and explore the things that I thought that I was interested in, and I did. So I moved out of home, sort of on a part-time basis. After about a year and a half of doing that, I was in a relationship with my current partner, and I moved back in with my wife, who was not my partner at the time, but and my kids. Basically, that allowed me to spend more time with my kids, and also made it much easier financially on both of us, obviously, because we're splitting living costs in half.
So how old are your kids?
My oldest is 13, and I've got a 11-year-old and a 9-year-old.
So just to reiterate, you've got your three kids in the household. There's yep. you, there's your, is your ex-wife?
Yeah, well, technically still my wife, but we're legally separated.
And your partner?
And my partner, yes.
Your male partner?
My male partner, yes. Who wasn't there all the time, but probably on at least 60% of the time.
What motivated you to actually bring your male partner into the household?
He was my partner. I wanted my kids to accept him as a person that's important in my life and hopefully theirs. I wanted them to build a relationship with him. And I didn't want to exclude him from that, and he didn't want to be excluded from that either.
So that was the plan. How did that actually work out?
It actually worked quite well. We lived that way for nearly two years. It was obviously at times it was difficult because you've got different, even with people that you're in one relationship with, one person, that's not always easy to live with them. So managing three is not always very easy. But basically we had, I guess, a long-term view that we wanted everybody to come out of it well and everyone to come out of it happy and not missing out on something. And so with that in mind, it basically made it easier to live together.
Well, there were obviously some advantages to having this relationship that was of an unorthodox nature. What's one of the ones that springs to mind?
Basically, it was a lot easier for my children to accept the relationship rather than going, oh, dad's gay, he's his gay partner. They're not living with you anymore. They're living over here and you need to get used to it.
So it was more of an inclusive feel to it.
It was very slow, actually. It was a very slow, even though Joe was living with us, my kids didn't really realise to start with that I was gay. They knew that Kylie and I had separated. We had separate bedrooms.
Hmm.
And we kind of made the decision not to force our decision or announce it, make a big deal out of it. We ideally wanted them to come to the conclusion themselves and ask us about it. And we felt that when they were ready to ask the questions, they were also ready for the answers rather than us deciding that, okay, you have to hear this now and adjust.
And is that how it worked out?
Yeah, it was actually. It took a long time for any of them to realise. It was actually one of the scariest things in my life was when my daughter, my oldest daughter, came to me and she goes, oh, Dad, I think I know why you and Mum split up. And I said, oh, well, what do you think that is? And she goes, you're gay, aren't you? And I just burst into tears. It was quite confronting, but relieving as well, because we wanted them to know, but we wanted them to know in their time, not our time.
Okay. I suppose having everybody in the one household would be hard enough to manage as it is. I'm assuming there was a lot of tension and argument potential. How did you actually get around working through those tensions?
Oh, it's easy. I'm always right. No. getting looks from Kevin. Look, we all tried to work together. We basically divvied up nights of whose responsibility looking after the kids were and cooking dinner and care and things like that. So I had my share, like, basically in a fortnight. There were 10 nights out of that fortnight, or sorry, 7 nights out of that fortnight that were mine. And it was my responsibility to organise dinner and get the kids ready for school and whatnot. And the other 7 nights, my partner, or my ex-wife, she basically did the same thing. And the nights that weren't ours were our nights off. We were sort of free to do as we pleased. So we could hang around at home and spend time with the kids if we wanted, or we could go out or have dinner or just basically whatever suited us.
Now, we've been hearing about you an awful lot, but what about your wife? How has she felt about the entire thing?
I think that she would have preferred the process to be a lot sooner, in that it made it easier for her to get on with her life. But she's also well aware that we, you know, we've got 3 really important people that we're responsible for, and we want them to be adjusted and fine for situation as well. It also gave her time to get on her feet. So during that time, she went and got more qualifications and has got a much better job now. And so when we actually did separate houses, she was much more able to, you know, be independent in her own right.
Yeah, so it was more of the, this is the appropriate time to actually do it, let's do it.
Yeah, it was rather than split now and live best you can, is let's set ourselves up so that we can make the best of what this situation is.
Well, I think one of the most important lessons you learn about your parents is that your parents are human. They just did the best that they could with what they had at the time. And by the sounds of it, that's exactly what you guys have done. You've done the best with what situation you actually found yourself in.
Yeah, I mean, my ex-wife and I have got a really good relationship. My partner and my ex-wife have got a great relationship. And my kids have got a great relationship with each of us. I'm not sure if there are that many people in similar situations that can probably say that they've had a good outcome like that.
Well, thank you very, very much for coming on and talking with us about it. It was pretty good.
You're on Joy 94.9 with the Cubby House Project. You are listening to Joy 94.9 with Cookie, Kevin and Jack, the Cubby House Project. And Dan, who's just joined us, would you like to hang around for the rest of the show?
Yeah, thanks guys, that'll be great.
Oh, goody!
Excellent!
Yeah. Well, another ringer, great. All right, people, limited time. Let's move on to our new topic.
On our modern love. We're talking about modern love on the Cubby House.
I think we've actually got an awesome response, which we'll get into our next topic, from the SMS polls on 0427JOY949, asking the question, does monogamy have a place in the modern gay world?
From Lee S. Hi, Lee.
How you doing?
Hi, Lee.
Thanks for messaging. All right, so, hi, lads. I found myself in arguments about this topic, but it seems that you can split the community over it whatever percentage you choose. Some seem to think anything but monogamy is seriously wrong, while the other half see it as an outdated construct better serving the nuclear family types. I would argue that it's over to the couple and what they feel is right. I think monogamy is overrated personally, but it seems to hang on a person's level of maturity. If an individual is quite insecure or jealous, they probably won't succeed in an open relationship. You could also argue that monogamous relationships are against most of our nature's urges, and if it's something that you have to force yourself to maintain, it was probably not your thing to start with.
Thank you, Lee, for your SMS. You can send in yours to 0427JOY949.
Nice little segue into our second topic, which is jealousy and envy. Do you own your emotions?
Now, let's, as we all do, define jealousy and envy first.
Again, we love our definitions here at the Cubby House.
Like the dictionary show.
So let's start with jealousy. It is the fear of losing something that one possesses to another person. For instance, the love and affection from someone.
Envy, however, is the pain or frustration caused by another person having something that you feel you don't have.
I think I need to hear some of these concepts in practice. Do we have any analogies that we could use?
Jack, it's us. Do you think we have analogies?
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
So, jealousy. Let's think about this as... I've got too many things to actually go through now.
Start with the first one.
Thank you, Jack. So, jealousy, it's something like... let's say you have fear of losing your lover or partner and, you know, all the reactions that this fear can manifest as, something like attempting to control your partner by limiting, you know, what they can and cannot do. No, you can't go out to clubs. No, you can't, you know, go out on dates. No, you can't kiss or snog other boys. No.
And that's limiting the individual to a particular action or activity.
Based on your fears.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's also constantly fighting with your partner, sometimes over insignificant things about this particular anxiety that you have.
Well, that's mostly caused by anxiety, because, I mean, your fear sort of manifests as an anxiety of your person leaving. And in your head is, you know, the fact that this person's going to leave, this person's going to leave, this person's going to leave. And it blocks a lot of the rest of your relationship because you're sitting there going, this person's going
to
leave.
And fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. And suffering leads to the dark side.
Everything leads to the dark side, Jack. All right, so what about... Thank you, Cookie. So what about envy? Let's think about, you know, some ways that envy can affect a relationship.
I mean, people having or seeming to have some sort of attribute that you feel that you lack, that people always tend to despise in others what they don't necessarily have in themselves. And that could be intelligence, attractiveness, social skills, work, money, sexual prowess.
Lack of grey hairs.
It could be the attention that the other person's getting instead of you as well. You're envious of the attention that they get.
Yes, it's pretty much, it's when you compare yourself to someone else and you end up coming up short. Or, you know, they end up being put on a pedestal because, you know, they're so confident or they're so attractive or they're so amazingly good in bed, whatever it is.
Now, quickly moving on from this, you had a really good analogy as to, okay, you've got this emotion and you got this feeling of anxiety or jealousy, depending on which the case may be. What do you do about it?
You want me to bring up the freezer analogy,
I
don't
do, because this freezer analogy applies to what I do in work in a more physical, practical sense. But it's a really good one.
Let's
so
talk
please.
About it within relationships, not okay. Lift repair.
Fine. I'm going to throw this out. Now, the freezer analogy actually comes from my personal Bible, which is The Ethical Slut.
Ding, Ethical Slut.
It's a fantastic, fantastic book. If you haven't read it, please go out and read it. It's not about polyamory. It's not about open relationships.
It's not even about slutting.
Yeah, well, it is a little bit, but it's about communication in your relationship.
Yes.
And ways that, you know, you can establish safe space for needs and things to be able to be met in your relationship. So let's get on with it. Your freezer analogy. You come home one day to find that your freezer is broken and it's leaking water all over the floor. Now, there are three main ways that people deal with it. The first one that I'm going to talk about is how people come home, they simply clean up the current mess, and that's it. They don't take it any further. They just, day after day, keep cleaning up the same mess. The second lot of people that come through are people that, you know, take a bit more interest and see that, you know, the freezer only leaks after 2 or 3 days, or, you know, it's okay if I only stock this much stuff in it. So they make all these odd sort of rules, and they try and juggle and maintain these rules to, you know, make sure that, you know, they're still using this broken freezer. And the last lot is people that actually clean up the mess and then take it that final step by going, why the hell is my freezer broken?
But Kevin, what do freezers have to do with human relationships?
Okay, let's take this really slowly. The freezer is your relationship. The water all over the floor are the messes and the issues that happen in your relationship. So things happen in your relationship as happen in human relationships. You find yourself in sticky situations. What do you do about it? Do you just clean up the mess and ignore it and then, you know, have the same mess happening day after day after day?
A reaction.
Reaction. Do you make all these odd rules? Like, for instance, oh, Jack, I don't like it when I see you kissing other boys, so you can't kiss other boys in front of me. I don't care about if you kiss other boys, I just don't want to see it.
But Kevin.
No. Or do they sit there and go, Jack, I don't like you kissing other boys. I've taken some time out to sort of realize that I don't like you kissing other boys because I'm jealous and I'd like to spend more time kissing you.
To fix and maintain.
Yes. So how about you and I spend, you know, enough time kissing and, you know, satisfying my needs, and then you can go and kiss whatever boys you like and I won't care.
So what is it that you're actually endorsing here? I mean, what you're espousing is sort of a reflexivity about your own stance on the rules of your relationship, that you've got to be reflective about how and why you feel what you feel, rather than just assuming that it's a given.
Very much so. For me, relationships and it's and how you interact with people, it's all based on being honest with yourself. A lot of the times people have this reactionary issue where they're jealous, so they tell their partner that they can't do this and this and this because they're jealous. And, you know, if they respect the fact that, you know, I'm a human being and I have these needs, you'll do it. But to me, I sit there and go, why am I jealous? I actually take that second step and go, okay, I need to sort this out. What's the cause of this jealousy? Is it, you know, my own baggage from a previous relationship? Is it something that happened to me in my childhood? Whatever. Is this something that, you know, I should be lumping on my partner? I mean, is it fair that I should limit my partner's reactions and their experiences based on my own baggage?
Let's just pretend with a bit of a role play here. Cookie is my partner for the last 3 years.
We really need to move on from using each other as partners.
Things have been nice between us, and we seem to have an emotional connection there. But I've been finding that I have not been all that sexually... I'm not in the bedroom with him whenever I make love to him. That I'm thinking about Brad Pitt whenever I'm doing it. And I'm tending to find that although I have these emotional feelings towards you, that I also don't feel intellectually engaged with you anymore. But I do want you in my life. Kevin, what do I do?
Oh, God, I feel like agony aunt all of a sudden.
Help me with my...
Okay, so let's break this down into the different connections you have. Because you do have different connections with people. You find people that, you know, you have intellectual connections with, people that you have spiritual connections with, people that you have physical connections with. I mean, you could just have sex with someone and not bother about, you know, their intellect. They don't have to be intelligent or anything like that.
Or their name.
Or their name, you know, don't care about that. So what are the issues that you're actually having here? You need to be honest about the needs that you have, the needs that Cookie has, and think about what is the difference between your needs and your wants. Your wants are the needs that, you know, you're willing to compromise on, that you don't need. So you said you weren't emotionally or physically connected to him anymore?
No, I'm emotionally connected.
Oh, you're not physically connected.
Sexually, no.
Now, do you, as a need, require physical connection with your boyfriend?
I'm feeling frustrated, man. That I need to get some release.
You need to be honest with him, and you need to talk to him about it.
Cookie.
Not now, but this is the kind of things that you
during,
need
during
to
the
do.
Song break.
Yes.
This is what you need to do. Dan, you were going to say something.
I think the situation about the freezers was probably missing one scenario, and I think that might actually be Jack and Cookie's problem, is that some people, their freezer leaks, but they don't actually realise that the freezer's leaking. They're happy to walk around with soggy socks for a while, and it might upset one partner, and they notice, but the other person might not.
You mean completely ignoring the issue.
And before you know it...
They might not even realise that there's an issue.
You know it, you've got mildew growing on your feet.
Yeah, mouldy socks is a bad thing.
Can I say, to wrap up this concept of jealousy and envy, with this quote, and I want you to take this and think about it, that there is no such thing as a finite amount of love. There is such a thing, however, as a finite amount of time. Joy 94.9, you're with the Cubby House Project on our topic, modern love. Now, we are currently fishing out our listener of the week from the elevator here at Joy 94.9.
Quick, stall for time. He's coming. He's almost here.
Please, stop sounding like a bloody erotica story for 1 minute.
Oh.
Seeing as this person who we are referring to is, in fact, Dan's partner.
So we get to hear the other side of the story now, do we?
Just quickly. Hear all the bad things about me now.
Just quickly before he comes into the studio.
Would you like me to introduce him for you?
Why not?
This is Joe. Joe's my partner of 4 years. He has just finished work, actually, so he'll be full of energy and bouncing around. You can see him signing in at the moment.
He shouldn't be signing in. Just push him through.
He's really looking forward to being part of the show.
Wonderful.
He's very excited.
And here's Kevin bouncing up and down for some strange unknown reason. Because he's lost his voice.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, no.
We've just been told he's lost his voice. How unfortunate.
You people don't listen to anything, do
you? This is embarrassing.
No, it's not. Because we have somebody else lined up instead. This is, however, Jason, who is the partner of the president of Vic Bears.
This is how old.
What is your name?
Jason.
How old are you?
34.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Invincibility.
Why?
Because sometimes I feel a bit vulnerable, and I don't want to fly because I hate heights.
Where's the weirdest place you've had sex?
On a freeway, whilst driving.
What would be your ideal job?
Travelling. Something to do with travel. traveling overseas, doing fun stuff.
Name the one person in the world you would like to have sex with the most.
Well, the correct answer would be Rick, but the real answer would be there's this wrestler dude who's, like, huge, and he's got a goatee, and he wears lycra, and he's really hot. I don't know his name.
Are you available or unavailable?
Semi-available.
What's your favourite item of clothing?
T-shirts.
Sexually, what melts your butter?
Chunky, furry facial hair. Chunky, furry.
Would you date yourself?
Yep.
Why?
If you didn't want to have sex with yourself, how could you expect somebody else to have sex with you? Yeah. I know the question was date, but, you know, date and sex is kind of almost synonymous.
Name one thing you couldn't do without.
Internet connection.
Do you prefer organisation or chaos?
Organisation.
How did you get involved in the bear community?
Through Rick, really. I went to a bear night before I met Rick. Freaked out, walked in, went into the back bar, grabbed a beer, sat down sort of on the periphery, and no one spoke to me because I was there for about 15 minutes and then left. But then after I met Rick, I sort of got involved sort of by default.
What do you get out of the bear community?
Mainly, it's just camaraderie and friendships and, you know, people who have similar sort of, I guess, likes and dislikes. Just seems like a lot of guys have the same sort of interests. So, and, you know, can't deny that, you know, the other thing I get out of the bear community is the occasional route besides my partner.
Where do you see the community is going?
It's hard to say. I mean, I don't know if it's moving forward. I think it's sort of stagnated a little bit, to be honest. I don't know. It just seems like things are the same, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm happy. I don't know whether it needs to go anywhere. It doesn't need to change. I don't think it needs to change.
How do you feel that it's changed over the time that you've been involved?
I guess it constantly evolves with the people involved in the community. Some people sort of fall in and out of the bear community, whether they lose sort of identification with it, or whether they maybe disagree with things that have happened or don't like certain people, and other people then come into the community who realise that, yeah, this is a group that's for me, and come in. So I think it's more of a personnel thing that how the group has changed. I think it's become a younger community in lots of ways, which is good. I think it's sort of injected a bit of youthful vigour, which is always good. So, yeah, they're probably the main ways, I think.
You would have been pretty young when you went into your first meeting. How was that for you?
Well, I didn't go to a meeting as such, but I did, like den night. I would have been 24, 25 maybe, first time I went. So, yeah, I definitely felt like I was the youngest person there at the time. Wasn't really anyone younger than me. So, yeah, it got a bit weird, actually, when people started to turn up who were younger than me. I felt like I was growing up.
So, can you tell me the story of the first time you went to a gay bar?
My sister, who at the time was a lesbian, who now is, she still, I guess, identifies as bisexual, she took me to the Peel with her girlfriend.
How old are you?
The first time I went to a gay bar was the Glass House, and I was 16 or 17. And at that time, I was identified as straight, but then I sort of went to the Glass House a couple of times with her when I stayed over at her place, and just more, you know, to have a game of pool or whatever. And then, when I came out, she took me to the Peel.
So what are your hobbies?
Board games, computer games, games. I'm a bit of a kid at heart, so anything to do with games. AFL, love the footy, go to the footy just about every week during the season. So, yeah, they're sort of the big things.
Do you think that you've met many people through your hobbies?
Not that many. Footy people I go to the footy with are people I've met through bears, and people I game with are people I've met through bears. So, really, none that I can think of, none that spring to mind.
Okay, thank you very much. This is the Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9, the woofiest radio show in all the world.
We are talking about modern love this week, and we would like the SMS answer to the question, does monogamy have a place in the modern gay world? Answers on 0427 Joy 949.
Now, we had some unfinished business from our last segment.
We just had so much to pack in there, so let's get straight back into that. Effective ways of dealing with jealousy and envy.
Now, there are a lot of ways and a lot of types of envy, and it's based on our own insecurities instead of reality.
Well, a lot of times that does tend to be, because envy is, you know, this whole preconceived idea of, you know, this person is better at this than I am. And then a lot of times you'll sort of sit down and actually have a wake-up call, and you'll realize that, you know, hold on a sec, this person isn't. And, you know, he has his own problems as well. I mean, a classic example that springs to mind is I had a partner and, you know, this person was having sex with someone else and I could just picture how hot the sex was because both of them were incredibly attractive. I'm sitting there going, damn it, I wish I was part of that. And I had all this envy. And then I actually sort of had a conversation with this person and, you know, as with my partner about this. And as amazing as this person was and as hot as this person was, I gave better head. And hearing that from my partner just made me feel, you know, 100% better. All of a sudden, all this envy and all this horrible feeling just kind of went right out the window because I realized, you know, I give better head.
Generally, the best way to deal with your fears and concerns is to just stare them at the face
and, deal with it. Here's another one. A lot of people come up to you, Kevin, and say, you are one of the most confident people I know. What would you say to that?
God, anyone that knows me knows I'm not confident at all. Says the person who just said, you know, I give great head.
Could you say that again?
I said it's a farce. It's not true. He's really... It's just a pretend.
It's a facade.
It's not a facade. Anyone that knows me knows I'm not confident. All right, so we'll move on from me, please. Basically, just say that one of the most effective ways that you can deal with jealousy or your envy is to have decent communication in your relationship, to have trust and respect. And it's about setting up a safe space where you and your partner or partners or lovers or daddy, son, whatever, where you can sit there and talk and know that you can talk about your needs.
I mean, relationships are something that you do. That is not something that just happens. And because you're doing it, you've got to actually put that investment in there.
Exactly.
It might not just be about just having a conversation. I think it's also knowing that your relationship can survive conflict and... When you have those jealousies and they need to come out, they're not always a rational saying, let's sit at the table and discuss what I'm not feeling safe about. You know, you need to know that you can yell and scream and rant and say, you know, all sorts of things to your partner and be confident that you're still going to be together tomorrow.
Thank you, Daniel, for being the voice of reason on the Cubby House today.
The other thing as well is, even if you do set up rules and you come to agreements and things like that, one of the first rules in my polyamorous relationship was that we had the right to freak out at any point. Because when confronted by things that you've spoken through, by real life situations, you suddenly realize that there might be something that you haven't thought about. You've got to have that space to be able to just go completely nuts and then come back and have that communication and talk it through.
We are the Cubby House Projects here on the airwaves talking to you tonight about modern love.
I don't like those Glee kids. They're too damn happy.
Oh, shut up, Jack. We finally played a Glee track. Do you know how long it's taken us? How many episodes?
That's about 8 now, I believe.
Yes, it's taken us 8 episodes to play one Glee track.
How many gay people are on Glee? That's amazing, I think.
And I happen to love Kurt. I think but he's hot.
Really? He has no top teeth. Every time he sings,
he's hot.
This isn't the Glee episode. This is the Modern Love episode on the Cubby House.
Now, we have had a lot of feedback on the question, does monogamy have a place in the modern gay world? The answers have been on 0427JOY949 if you'd still like to contribute in the last 15 minutes of the show.
As well as our Facebook page. That's the Facebook / the Cubby House. Generally, the responses we've been getting on the Facebook page is that monogamy isn't something to necessarily strive for, but it should be an option there for those that want it.
Yes.
Well, getting into some of the SMS things that we've actually had as well, we've had monogamy has a place. It's an option that shouldn't be overlooked. Committing to one person shouldn't be seen as closed mind, but merely as a choice to stay with one love and keep it as something unique and special to the two parties involved, with nobody else included.
If you can make it work, then all the glory to you, man.
It's basically the least complicated form of relationship you can have.
No, I'm going to disagree with that argument. I think it depends on the person. Depending on the person, it is the easiest one.
Yeah, but the other argument is depending on the person's... There's more unknowns.
No, but like for me individually, I have been in situations where I cannot be monogamous. I simply cannot do monogamy.
But this brings us to our third subject today, which is instrumental relationships. So thank you for that unintentional segue into our third subject. Now, an instrumental relationship is defined by the outcome that you get from that relationship. For example, if you were to go to the shops, the relationships that you'd have with the person at the checkout would be the outcome would be the milk that you get. There is nothing else there. Or if you had a fuck buddy, then there isn't an emotional relationship. What they are is that they're an outcome. The outcome is sex, really.
So essentially it's just having different connections with different people and perhaps limiting this to, you know, purely a physical connection or an emotional connection or an intellectual or spiritual one.
So generally when we think about instrumental relationships, people can tend to think of them as a bit objectifying, that what am I to you? Am I just a hole for you to stick your dick in?
Am I just an ear for you to complain and whinge in?
Am I just here for you to buy milk from?
But it also raises the...
Got you, Jack.
But it also raises that we can't necessarily be everything for everyone, that all relationships kind of have limitations about what they can be for us.
True.
Those relationships can change too, though.
That's very true.
They are dynamic because we are living in liquid times. Featuring milk.
That seems to have been an overarching theme through the show. Unintentionally, we swear. We're not intelligent enough to actually put that sort of thing in.
By the same token, instrumental relationships, as you say, do change, ebb and flow, and that's not just change as their functionality, but also you can create new ones and lose old ones. I have always said connections to people are either for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
Well, you don't necessarily even need to be in a formal, quote, relationship, unquote, that I am a very single person, Lord, help me out here now, anyone. I don't have a person that I would describe as my lover, but I do have people which I do refer to as a confidant, and that is the role that they would play in my life, or a person that I need to go to whenever I say I'm feeling a bit blue and just want to watch a movie with somebody that... Although the relationship can transgress that they don't necessarily need to be everything to me, that there isn't necessarily that pressure there, that what it is what it is.
And you're flexible on that, and you allow the relationship to just be what it is, which is a fantastic thing. Well done, Jack.
But don't describe a person as just a hole to put your dick in, unless they like being, well...
Objectified.
Yes.
I'm sure there are people that do like being objectified that way.
So, if you've got a lot of instrumental relationships, that means you might necessarily have a lot of different types of lovers.
We'll go through this really, really quickly. Some more feedback we've had is, if you and your partner love and fulfill each other's needs, why not choose to stay faithful to each other for the length of the relationship? After all, it's the quality of the time you spend together that's important, not the length of the time. Great show, guys. Steve the Truckee!
Thank you very much for your message, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
We've been very camp this show, meeting our quota.
So let's quickly ask round the table our own question. Does monogamy have a place in the modern gay world?
My answer is yes, monogamy does have its place in the modern gay world. I just wish people would realise that it's not the factory default setting.
I pretty much feel the exact same way, that when it comes to our relationship with the government and the state, that marriage as a monogamous... Well, monogamy shouldn't be necessarily the default, that we should smash monogamy.
It should be flexible and basically...
We should be have rights and protections for any given couple, not just monogamous ones.
Cooking?
I do believe, and particularly for people who perhaps don't see the gay scene or gay lifestyle as being their only part of their life, for those that just are gay, have a partner, yes, I do believe it has a place in the world. But again, like you, Kevin, I don't believe it has to be the default setting.
You guys all could have come up with your own answer to the question. You didn't have to hijack mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't help it if you're right.
Oh, damn.
To a certain degree. However, thank you for very much for all the feedback we've got on the SMS and email.
And thank you, Dan, for staying with us for the whole show.
It was a pleasure, guys.
We also have Joe in the studio with us, being the very supportive wife.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Ooh, he has a voice now.
I have voice. I did before. Someone lied.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to get you on next week's episode then.
Maybe.
He wants to be our music director. He wants to play Mariah Carey.
No.
All Mariah Carey, no. All the time.
You need to ban that. No. And you need to ban country and western.
Exactly. Now, speaking...
One Mariah Carey song. Just one.
Speaking about next week's topic... We have Modern Love Meets Modern Life.
So we started off with I Think We're Alone Now, which is all about yourself and being all alone. Then we have Modern Love, which is all about making things work with other people.
And stretching the boundaries of relationships.
Modern love meets modern life is what happens when you've got this unit. It could have 2 people, it could have 4 people, it could have 16 people. How does that fit into the big wide world out there?
Well, one of the issues that comes up is that, as Dan was saying earlier, that there's an issue with marriage and thinking of 2 people. Dan, what did you actually say with that one?
There's a big argument supporting the case for gay marriage at the moment. And I think that if that argument broadened to gay marriage for 3 people or gay marriage to 5 people versus a couple, I think that that would make the whole argument a lot more difficult and a lot more complicated. And I think that that's probably more realistic of what...
It might be more difficult, but I think it might also be a lot more inclusive.
So if you like the Cubby House or have just listened into the last 5 minutes and like what you heard, you can go back and listen to this show and other shows on our website. That's the www.thecubbyhouse.net.au.
You can also check us out on Facebook as we're having a look now. It's facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. And please do like us. We do keep track of all the likes. And I reckon if we get up to 150... we'll make that our new goal set for another little bonus on the website.
We may. Don't forget, you can also email us at podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au for any more feedback that you'd like to feed through to us throughout the week.
I mean, with all these ways to contact the Cubby House, there's no reason not to like us. Well, not for technical reasons anyway.
Very true, very true. And for the 30th of May 2011, I'm Cookie.
I'm Jack.
I'm Kevin.
And we want to share our love with the world.
This is the Cubby House. Catch us next week and stay tuned with Alan for Soul Time in just a few moments.
Joy 94.9. This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.